Praise the Lord. You know, we've been talking a lot about a portion of scripture that difficult time in the life of David when he had gone and killed Goliath and married Saul, the king's daughter. He'd become basically at a young age an icon in Israel. And how that Saul was out to kill him. How that Saul himself, the king himself, said, what is left for him but the throne? You know, it's kind of like the Pharisees when they were talking about Jesus. You know, they said the whole world is going after him. And David goes, and the Bible says that he runs from Saul. Isn't that amazing? He ran to Goliath, and he's running from Saul. But he comes down to the cave of Adullam, and the Bible said there were 600 men that came to him there. Men that were in debt and were in distress and discontent with life. But they became mighty men of valor. God used them. But in chapter 27, David goes and he does something that's almost unthinkable. David goes and as he's running from Saul, he goes down to the Philistines, the enemy. Goliath himself was the champion of the Philistines. He defeats him. But now he goes and he is rejected. You know, a lot of times I've seen people like this that go to a church and maybe they get hurt. Maybe they get offended and the next thing you know, they don't want anything to do with God. I've actually heard of people that, you know, have gone to a church and said, I'm never going to go back to that place again. And this kind of David, he's been rejected, you know, by his father-in-law, the king. And he's so discouraged that Saul's rejection was able to do what his command could never do. Saul could never have commanded David, I want you to go down to the Philistines and live with them. He could never. No, but discouragement does that. You know, a lot of times, you know, we go through things and we become discouraged. And we got to be careful because that can become a spirit of discouragement or a spirit of oppression or depression. The enemy will come in and all of a sudden you just begin to give in to that and you go days like that. Well, David goes and he comes down to the, he says, David said in his heart, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should escape into the hand of the Philistine. And he comes down and becomes friendly with the king of the Philistines, Achish. And he goes and he brings his 600 men along with him. Boy, I'm thinking of this church, you know, when this is the way that it is a lot of times, you know, when somebody goes and they get away from God, a lot of times they'll take people with them. You know, if the dad stays out of church, the next thing you know, the whole family's out of church. And you see this, how many has ever seen it? When somebody decides that they're going to be in a bad mood, they're going to take people with them. I've seen people not happy until everybody in the house is the same way they are. Quiet in here. They wake up on the wrong side of the bed on a Sunday morning, they're not going to stop until everybody feels that way. David takes those 600 mighty men of valor and takes them down the drain with him. And they go to the Philistines, and next thing you know, in chapter 27 and verse 8, they go out and they're fighting. This is what they do. You know, a lot of times discouragement will lead to fighting. But what they do, they come down and they go against the, you know, the Amalekites, the enemies of God. If we're going to fight, we're going to fight against the enemy. But somebody make up your mind. You know, if you get in one of those moods that you're just going to, you just feel like fighting, why don't you fight the devil? Instead of, you know, lashing out at the wife or kicking the dog or skinning the cat, why don't you just lash out at the devil? Just make up your mind. Devil, you know what? I realize that you're behind all this. You're behind my discouragement. You're trying to make me depressed. You're trying to make me have a bad day. I'm just going to come against you. Come on, somebody help me. Anybody? Uh-oh. Maybe we're not in the devil fighting mood today. Oh, Pastor, I just woke up. And you got me in church, and you want me to start off my day by fighting the devil. Oh, man, what better way to start it off, huh? We come in here, we're already praising God. He don't want you doing that. That's already a head start on it. You start, you come in here and you start, you know, singing about the, I got that hallelujah feeling. Well, he don't want to that. He'd like to get you that down and out feeling. He'd like to get you up in the morning, you know, gloom, despair, agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no My God, that's the way the devil works. We come at him, church. We come at him with the praise. Come on, somebody. I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to church anyway. Man, that's the one thing he's trying to get you not to do. I'm going to decide you're going to believe God anyway. Well, he goes against the enemy. David and his they come against the Amalekites, the enemies of God. And they come down and they kill all the men and all the women. And then he goes back and he tells Saul. Saul said, where you been? You've been out fighting. He said, we came against Judah. Judah is God's people. But he didn't want Saul to think, you know, that he wasn't out, he wasn't on his side. He didn't want the king of the Philistines to think that he wasn't on his side. So he tells the king of the Philistines that we've been out attacking Judah. So he's lying to him. But, you know, that's why he goes, and the Bible said in verse 10, that's why he went and killed all the witnesses. He didn't want somebody coming back and telling the king of the Philistines, no, he didn't go down against Judah. He came against the Amalekites. Well, 1 Samuel 29, David is ready to go with them. And all of a sudden, the princes of the Philistines, they come to King Achish, and they said, you know what? We don't trust him. We don't trust David. We don't trust his men. We're going to get into a battle, and he's going to turn on us. If you go against Israel, and he's with us, he's going to turn on us. So they get rid of him. They send David away, and this is when David comes back to Ziklag. Ziklag was the place that they had given him, the city that they had given him. And when they got back to Ziklag, Ziklag had been burned out. The Amalekites, what was left of them, came against them while they were gone. And they took all the wives and all the children, and, you know, God was good even here because God was merciful. Even in this, David had gone against them and murdered them and took all the men and the women and murdered them and but his family were still alive. They come down and they take the wives and they take the children. If the Philistines, and I started thinking about this, if the Philistines hadn't rejected David, he wouldn't have returned to Ziklag when he did, and his family would have been long gone. Isn't it amazing how God still gets in things? Even when you know that you're not where you need to be with God, God's still there. Somebody listen to me. When you haven't been praying the way you should be praying, or maybe you haven't been in church, or maybe you've just been, you know, you've been, you know, your faith isn't where it needs to be. Pastor, I've just been suffering. I've just been struggling. But you know what, church? Isn't it a wonderful feeling that God's still there? And God is still in control. David was in a terrible place spiritually because he was rejected. He got to a point that, you know, that he was just basically spiritually backslidden. He'd gone, you know, he said in his heart, you know, I'm just going to go and turn myself over to the Philistine. But yet, even in the midst of that, God was still in control. You know, I just want to let you know this morning, church, no matter what it looks like, things are not as far gone as they appear. Somebody help me. You may look at your life right now, you know, things are not as far gone as it appears. David and his men, they come and they weep and they have a breakdown. The Bible said that they were weeping until they had no power to weep anymore. The men's souls were so grieved that they spoke of stoning David. It's all your fault. David was so distressed. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you read that? David, in chapter 30, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So that word encourage means strengthen. He strengthened himself. You know, there was a great story about the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon. And he was a great man of God in the 1800s and a great preacher. And he got discouraged one day and was just really, he was talking to a friend of his. And all of a sudden, a friend of his started repeating something to him. And as Spurgeon was listening to him, all of a sudden he realized that his friend was repeating what Spurgeon had preached. and about being encouraged in the Lord. And all of a sudden, what that man was speaking to him, those his own words were coming back to encourage him. And all of a sudden, he came out of that. You know, church, when David's thinking back on the anointing and the call and the deliverances from the bear and the lion and the giant and all the victories that God had given him. And he goes and he calls for the ephod, which was that priestly garment. He's looking for direction. And he begins to seek the Lord. The Bible said that David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? Lord, what do you want me to do? Isn't this a wonderful thing, church? Just, you know what this is? This is spiritual pursuit. All of a sudden, he's saying, God, he's wanting God's, he's getting God back in the picture. God, what do you want me to do? Should I go after them? Should I pursue? This is spiritual pursuit. No matter how far that David had fallen, he remembered God's promises. Revelation 2:5 says, remember from whence you have fallen, repent and do your first works over again. We can get to that poor church. It's not too far gone that you can't get it back. Come on, somebody help me. This is what David was talking about. He said in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I believe, church, this morning that no matter what you feel like, you know, that you haven't achieved or you haven't obtained, it's not too far gone that you can't get that. You can't receive that. And there's a lot of things, you know, that we would want to attain that could only happen through spiritual pursuit. Somebody listening to me. This great thing that's, you know, that lacking, I believe, in the modern church today. You know, a lot of times the modern church is a little bit like we've been talking about, like Martha. They have that Martha mentality. You know, they want that their works to be noticed. You know, they'll do everything that they can. You know, they build big empires and they want more campuses and they want as many, you know, views on Facebook or as many clicks on Instagram as they can get, you know, and while ignoring the one thing that Christ said is needful, and that's spiritual pursuit. You know, I'm reading it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what it says here. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God reveals them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth concerning spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So this is talking here, church. It's communicating spiritual things to spiritual men and women. The natural man, it's foolish. It's a waste of time. I believe, church, this is something that God wants us to understand today, that God wants you and I, church, to get to that point that we begin to pursue spiritually, that we begin to go after God and we begin to want more of God and we begin to desire more of him, to know him in a greater way. David's spiritual pursuit was instigated by the enemy's effect on his family and friends. Boy, just think about that. This is what causes David to come back to his senses and realize the only hope I have is God. It's because of the way that his family had been under attack and they came in and they took the wives and they took the children and the way that the men, you know, had been so discouraged that they talked about coming. This is what it took to bring David back to that place that he begins to get hungry and thirsty. I need God. I'm going to begin to pursue after him. You know, I believe that the satanic effect on the world today is what should be driving the church into an unprecedented spiritual pursuit. Anybody agree with me? We look around, church, we better understand that the things that we're seeing playing out in the world today are being spiritually orchestrated. Somebody listening to me? All the crazy things that you see going on around, these are things that are spiritually orchestrated. How many realize the devil's at work? There are demonic forces that are combining with the natural man, creating chaos that we're living amongst. This world is in the shape that it's in right now because the devil, church, is angry. The devil is on the loose, and he's inspiring men and women to do things that we're seeing playing out right in front of us, church. Bible says the principalities and high places are at work, even in the political sphere, all around the world, much of it in collaborating even with the modern media. Somebody listening to me? I got to read something to you here in Ephesians chapter 2. And it said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That means everybody that's here that's already accepted God. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Somebody listen to this. This is talking about here the prince of the power of the air, who even controls much of the airwaves. See, the things even that you're hearing on TV, and, you know, a lot of times if you're not careful, you'll begin to just swallow everything that they're putting out there. This is where spiritual discernment comes in. Anybody listening to me? If you've got the Spirit of God within you, if you accepted Christ and you have His Spirit within you, you begin to be able to understand the difference between right and wrong. You will sit there and you will begin to realize, hey, wait a minute, I don't think I should be listening to this. Or you'll sit there and you'll begin to realize, wait a minute, they're trying to manipulate my emotions. They're trying to control me. They're trying to get me to go along with their agenda. Do we understand, church, this is demonic forces at work? This is the devil that wants to come and get you and try to get you discouraged by all the bad things that you're hearing about, that he's behind, to try, and if he can't affect you personally, he'll try to affect you emotionally to the point that you just get to the point, what's the hope? What's the use of even going on? The way that the world is here, Pastor, we just need to roll up the, you know, close up the doors and pull down the blinds and just hide out until Jesus comes. But we wouldn't be fulfilling what God has for us. You know what, church? We got to understand, we need to recognize the spiritual battle and begin to pursue spiritually. Oh, anybody listening to me? You know, there are people actually today, there are groups, there are secret societies that are hell-bent on receiving power from the devil. Oh, somebody listening to me. I know it's Sunday morning. I'm just going to say it anyways. Is this okay? We got to realize, church, that the devil is on the loose. Do you know that he did this all through the Bible? Do you know, church, that all through the Bible, it was magicians and astrologers and witches that the monarchs leaned upon to help them rule? The Philistines himself worshipped an idol named Dagon, who was half man, half fish. They believed that he was the god of the crops, the fertility, grain. David agreeing to be their servant. Just think about that. What kind of a spiritual condition that David found himself in because of discouragement, because of rejection. He goes and he turns himself over and comes to the king of the Philistines who worshiped idols and said, let your servant have a city of his own. Well, that's how he ended up with Ziklag. Goes and just think about this, church. What is it that's going to take to stir the church into spiritual pursuit? This is what you got to think about. You know, some hold back because it may require more of them than they're prepared to give. All pastors always talking about praying and fasting and staying in my Bible on a daily basis. Anybody listening? Oh, yeah. Come on. And a lot of times, you know, that sounds like a big thing. Boy, he's expected a lot out of us. Well, church, I know that if we're faithful in the little that God gives us, that he'll give us a whole lot more. Anybody want more? Anybody want more, God?
Yeah.
Well, then you're going to have to go after it. You're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to get serious with God. Oh, I was afraid of that. Until all of it, you know, and a lot of times we hold back until all of a sudden it hits home. See, that's what happened with David, you know. He was going to tinker with the world. I'll go down to the Philistines and, you know, just kind of hang around. I won't really do anything, you know, to help them. But until it finally hits home. You know, there's that saying, when it hits home, that's actually a phrase. That means something becoming very clear, usually in a forceful or unpleasant way. That means it doesn't bother you until it bothers you. Until they start messing with your home. Somebody listen to me. Until you start messing with my kids. You know, it's one thing to sit there on the, and listen, you know, the woke things that they're trying to teach kids in Virginia. But it would be a different story if they were doing that in Ponca City, wouldn't it? Somebody help me. All of a sudden, wait a minute. It's one thing for them to be doing that in Washington, D.C. or New York City or Los Angeles where the heathen are. The pastor, to allow that to creep into Ponca City? Well, how many said here this morning, are you sure you know what's going on in the schools? Quiet in here. See, because a lot of these parents didn't know what was going on in the schools until they found out about it. And then all of a sudden, it's hitting home. Now you're messing with my house. You're messing with my kids. You're messing with my family. You devil, you're messing with my money. Come on. It's a whole different story, isn't it? Wait a minute, devil, you're coming against my church. That's when somebody ought to get serious with God and say, you know what? It's time to get a hold. Pastor, it's time to really get a hold of God. It's time to really start pursuing God. A lot of times this propels David into action, what brings an answer from God. He comes to God and he said, Lord, God, what do you want me to do? God said, pursue, you shall overtake them all and recover everything. And David goes to the men, his 600 men. He must have put it in such a way that they, all of a sudden, they're with him again. He probably went to them and said, with or without you, I'm going after them. I got a word from God, and he said, pursue. Well, that's what I'm trying to do this morning, church. I'm trying to get some people to agree with me. I'm trying to get some people to go with me, to start pursuing with me. You know, there are things that we will encounter in our spiritual pursuit. Well, Pastor, I knew it. There are going to be some things that you will encounter. When you make up your mind that you're going to get God and not just, you know, get enough of God so you don't go to hell but go to heaven. My little grandkids have made that decision. They were talking about it the other day, and the older two, they were talking about, Grandpa, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven with God. We're not going to hell with the devil. All of a sudden, Roman hears them talking. He said, what? I see. He said, I'm not going to hell with the devil. He said, Grandpa, I'm scared. He said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, I want to go to heaven with Jesus. Oh, you know what? Just like that. What? I think I got your attention with that. Come on, church. This is what something, you know, when the little children, the Bible said they'll lead you. When they get to that point, church, that they want to know more. Oh, tell me more, Grandpa, about God. Tell me more about the hell. I told him so much here. You know what? The other day, my oldest one went home and said something to his mother. She was getting after him, and he says, "Wait a minute, Mom." He said, "Grandpa said you're the devil." I said, wait a minute, I never said that. I had to get on the phone and explain myself. I said, let me just say this. I said, he came to me one day, he said, Grandpa, what makes Mom and Dad fight? I said, it's the devil that makes them fight. Somebody listen to me. That's all he got. He went home and said, Mom, you're the devil. She said, I knew what you had said.
Somebody listen to me. He's even getting the idea. It's the devil behind those things. Are we going to do something about that? I don't. They make up their mind. They saw the young people's play in here. They come home from that little play, and they said, you know what, Grandpa, we like Jesus. We don't like the devil. Yeah, you see what Jesus did to him? The devil went flying off the stage one day. Feet went straight up in the air. He got kicked out. He got cast out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. No wonder he's so ugly. But David goes and he's got his 600 men and they're going after them. And then they reach a point where 200 of them get tired and they get weary. And he said, we can't go on. You know, this is part of what you're going to experience when you make up your mind, I'm going after God. I want more God, preacher. I want to know him. I'm going to get in my Bible. You're going to come across some people in your life that begin to fall away. They might start off with you, oh, let's do it. Let's get in the word. Let's start praying. Let's start seeking God. Let's know God in the grace. And the next thing you know, they may be falling off. They're not doing what they're not in church like, you know, they should be. But you've got to stay at it. 200 men, you know, God will bring you down to, you know, get you to the point that you don't have maybe what you used to have, but you're about to receive even more than you ever had. Amen. Come on, somebody, just believe with me. Woo! You know, that's what the devil does. He loves to bring discouragement because all of a sudden you don't, I started off with 600 men, now 200 of them they wimped out on me. They can't go any further. But you know what David does? Oh, my God. He said, okay, you stay here and guard the supplies. Boy, this is spiritual discernment. He said, this will lighten the load for the 400. He's thinking, the other 400, you ought to take this into consideration. This is going to make it easier on you. Because you're not going to have to carry all the supplies. We're going to leave them here with the 200 who's not able to go with us. And it's going to make it a lot easier. Do you know this is what God can do? The world calls it making lemonade out of lemons. That's what God does. He makes lemonade out of lemons. He takes something that the devil tried to use against you and wreck you with. And he'll turn it around and use it as a testimony. Oh, I know what the devil tried to do. He tried to mess you up. He tried to discourage you. He tried to wreck your home. He tried to bring sickness on your body. He tried to take all your money, but I'm going to turn that around and give you a praise that you never had before. Woo! Somebody's about to get some stuff that you never had before. Pastor, I'm sitting here this morning. I feel like I lost what I had. Well, you're about to get more, so hold on. So they go down there, church. In our pursuit, we will encounter those who fall away. They go down and a little bit further, they come across a young man who was one of the Amalekites. And he got sick. And they dumped him. They left him there. And David and his men come upon him. And the young Amalekite says to them, he said, you know what? He said, we just went and we invaded Ziklag and we burned it with fire. Well, he's telling David this. This is David. He's a man of war. And David goes to him and he said, oh, so you're one of them, are you? He said, well, we would like you to do something for, we would like, David, there's his, he's in discernment again. He said, we would like you to do something for, instead of just lashing out at him, how would you like to join us? Somebody listening to me. So you're going to come across those, church, that maybe have been, you know, in the world, maybe have been even an adversary to you. But all of a sudden, there's God. And he begins to speak. How would you like to come along with us? Instead of killing him, instead of getting, you know what? We're going, you take us down to where the enemy is and show us where he is. He said, I'll do it if you don't kill me and if you don't turn me over to them. So now he goes to church and they come down there and they find them basically celebrating.
Just think about this. The Amalekites had been up all night, and they had a big party, eating and drinking, and they were probably hungover from their celebrating, you know, what they did to Ziklag. Well, we went down there and burned David out. He's done for. We won't see him again. They're just having a big party. Well, first thing in the morning, here comes David, got him in that stupor that they're in. Well, God knows when to, you know, come against the devil. There's times you got to be quiet. Somebody listening to me. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battles. And then there's time, church, you got to come at him. There's times that you may be tempted to just unleash on somebody. And God will say, no, wait a minute, just don't say anything. And then there's times that God's going to get you to speak a word. Maybe you're not going to want to speak. Oh, somebody listening to me. David comes down there, church, and they find him. David comes down there, and they come against him, and he recovers. The Bible said all. They come against the Amalekites, and they defeat them, and they run them off, and they destroy them. And David recovers all. It was a result of spiritual recovery, climaxing in a spiritual pursuit with ultimate victory. They come down, they defeat the enemy, and on their way home, the 200 men that were too weak, feeble to come out, they all of a sudden, they come running out to meet them. They see that David coming back, and they come running out to meet him, and they're glad that he's made it back, and they're glad that they defeated the enemies. But all of a sudden, there's some men of David's that the Bible said got a, kind of a wicked spirit. All of a sudden, the enemy's working on them, evil. And all of a sudden, they we're not going to give them anything. They can have their families back, but we're not going to give them anything. And David said, well, we can't do that. He said, because it's the Lord that gave us this victory. Somebody listening to me. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It was the Lord that did this. And he said, those men that stayed here and tarried with the stuff, they did their part just like you did when you went out to battle. Oh, I got to tell you something, church. You might not be the pastor of the church. You might not be on the praise team, or you might just be. But let me tell you something. Even if you're just somebody you pastor, you probably don't even realize how I'm praying and believing for the church. God's got you doing your part. And God wants you to seek him. God wants you to find him, because God can use you no matter where you are. Even if you feel like you're just somebody that's, behind the scenes, pastor probably don't even know when I'm here, when I'm not. Yeah, I do. I know when you're here, when you're not. Somebody listening to me. They said David was sharing some of God's grace that he received when he came back from the Philistines. If we can't forgive others, how can we expect to be forgiven? Somebody listening to me? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, if you can't forgive your brother who you have seen, he said, how you expect your father to forgive you? Yeah. Ephesians 2. I'm going to read something here real quick. I love this little portion of scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, listen to what it says here in verse, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fullness of the desires of the flesh, of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath. In other words, he's saying we've all been there. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Did you hear this? This is trying to encourage you and I, church, that no matter if there are those that, around you that maybe have, they're not living up to what your expectations are, somebody hold on.
You got to continue. You got to remember that you were in the same boat one time. You got to remember that you were the same person at one time. You got to remember that before you came to Christ, you were as lost as they are. Just because they're not living the way that you think or even the Word of God says that they should be living, you got to remember where God brought you from. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that God can use you to show His grace through. That's what David's doing here, church. All these things are what we can expect to encounter in our spiritual pursuit. But the bottom line, he said, the Lord has given us this. The Lord has preserved us. He said, the Lord delivered the enemy into our hands. In other words, church, everything that we're hoping to produce this year is going to be produced through spiritual pursuit. Amen. We're setting, church, we talk about it every time we come in here. It's going to be the most productive year I've ever had. Come on, somebody agree with me. Yeah. Anybody still feel that way? Well, the only way that that's going to happen is you going after it spiritually. God, I'm going to come before you, seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So just think about that. If you're going to be the most productive you've ever been, you got to seek Him first. Somebody's got to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Somebody's got to get hungry and thirsty. You know what? I'm not satisfied living with the Philistines. I know that I've taken a step back, preacher. I know I've been discouraged. I know I've lost a little bit of my faith. I know that the enemy's come against me this way and that way. But I recognize that. And I know this morning that the only hope that I have is to get in there with God and get everything that I can from Him. I know that there are demonic forces that are aligned against me, but my God has given me power over all power of the devil. Do we understand this morning, church, that this is what it's going to take to get your breakthrough? It's what it's going to take to get your family back. This is what it's going to take to get your kids saved. This is what it's going to take to get you out of debt. This is what it's going to take to get the healing in your body. This is what it's going to take to resist everything that the supernatural forces of evil are throwing at us. Going to take somebody getting to that point. What's it say? 1 Corinthians 2. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Yes. Natural man might not know it, but what's the Bible say, church? But the Spirit of God revealeth those things to us. All the things that God has given us through Christ coming and dying on an old rugged cross. Church, we've got to understand the enemy that we are up against in this spiritual battle in the last days. And we've got to be able to, church, to be able to come against him in the power, not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Anybody listen to me? If you're going to church, if you're going to survive what the enemy brings against you, it's not going to be by your carnal might or your carnal power, but by my spirit. You can say to the mountain, move. That's what he said. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit. So we think, church, that we're going to accomplish anything in our own self. We're fooling ourselves. The devil's deceived you. It's going to take Jesus. Somebody listen to me. That's what they determined, church. Everyone that was in the New Testament that came in the first four Gospels, they came looking for it. They realized that they reached a point, whether they were blind or whether they were crippled or whether they were bound by the devil. They realized, church, that the only hope that they had was Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's blind Bartimaeus crying out. There's four men that bring one of their friends to Jesus. He's in the house. He's preaching. He's crippled. He can't walk. They're so pursuing him in such a way that they tear the roof off the building and lower him down to receive a miracle. That's spiritual pursuit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're after Jesus. We come into his presence. We need him. need to know him in a greater way. This church, this will bring everything else into your life. It will align everything. It will bring your family out of bondage. Come on, somebody help me. I know that you've had good intentions and you've probably been working on the family, but how many realize it's going to take Jesus? How many realize it's going to take God? It's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to set them free. It's going to take the power of God to get them back on their feet again. It's going to take God doing what you can't do. That's what the anointing is in the church, God on flesh doing what flesh can't do. The only way you're going to be anointed of God, church, is you get in there with him. You spend time with him. You come out of there, and all of a sudden, you're not the same person anymore. God will turn you into another man or into another woman. Anybody listen to me? The Spirit of the Lord is going to come on you, and you ain't going to be the same anymore. This is what we got to understand, church, that we are fighting abnormal forces. We are fighting against things that are not natural. We are wrestling against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is on the loose. He's behind all the crime that you see. He's behind all the murder that you hear about. He's behind all the looting and the robbing and the rioting. He's behind all those things, the manipulation that comes from the airwaves. Do we understand this? So it's going to take spiritual power for you to be able to resist him. But once you do, he's got to flee. Yeah. Bible said resist him and he will flee. But you got to have something to be able to resist him. You can't just come up to the against the enemy and say, you know, Dad said I can tell you to go. Pastor just told me that I have power to tell you to go. No, you got to get in there with God. It's not what Pastor said. It's what God said. Somebody listen to me. That's why it's so good, that church, that you have a pastor that doesn't preach my own opinion. I'm preaching to you what God said. This is God's opinion. This is God's word. This is God's promises for each and every one of us, church. If we don't get it, it's our fault. Because he told us here, church, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. The things which are freely given to us of God. God wants you to know this. But you can't know this, church, unless you get in there with him. And the Spirit reveals it to you. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, I realize I don't have to stay sick. I don't have to stay troubled. I don't have to stay bound. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be poor. God's able to change my life. All I got to do is get a hold of him. Pursue, and you shall recover all. Anybody listening to me this morning? This is something that the Lord is trying to do, church. He's trying to, I know what it's going to take. I know what's going to take to cause this church to grow. I know what's going to take to cause us to get to 150. I know what's going to take to get 200. It's going to take God's people. I need people doing their part. Whether you're behind the scenes praying with me or you're in the front line of the battle, I need somebody getting in there with me and say, you know what? It's going to take God, Pastor. I agree with you. Stand with me this morning if you can, all over the building. Anybody coming in agreement with me this morning? Say, Pastor, I know what it's going to take to get my life back on track. It's going to take Jesus. It's going to take God. I know what it's going to take to get me going forward. I know what it's going to take to get me and keep the victory that God gave me. Come on, somebody. I know what it's going to take for my healing. I know what it's going to take for my blessing. I know what it's going to take for my a financial miracle. It's going to take God. Anybody come to that conclusion yet? Yeah. I can't do it. It gonna take God. I messed up. I went to the Philistines, but now I realize the only hope I have. Somebody give me an ephod.
Yes, come on.
Somebody give me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Woo. I'm about to get at this. Bow your heads with me, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, in this building this morning, I'm looking for volunteers, Lord. Those that go say, Lord, this is what I want. Take this word and give me Jesus. I don't want the Philistines. I want Jesus. I realize what I need. I need to get a hold of God. I know what I need. I need more God in my life. I need all of God. I don't want just some. I don't want just part. I want all of God. Father, this morning, this is what I realize. I know this morning the only way I'm going to be able to make it, the only way I'm going to be blessed, the only way I'm going to get out of the mess that I'm in, it's going to take you. Anybody agreeing with me right now? Come on, right there where you're standing. Just come into that. Come into that place with me right now. Lord, we know what's going to take to bless this church. We know what's going to take to take this church to the next level. It's going to take you. God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you. Lord, we thank you that we have power to be able to come into your presence. Lord, come boldly with everything that we have need of. This morning, I believe, Father, there are needs in this place right now. I know that there are people, though, that have heard the word this morning and realize the only hope they have in meeting that need is you. It's going to take Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus. Say that again. Jesus. There's just something about that name. Because, Lord, you gave us power. You said you gave him a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Father, this morning, we're going to speak it. We're going to confess it. Father, you see the healing I need in my body. Lord, you see the blessing that I need. I need to be blessed financially. I need to get out of the debt, the mess that I'm in. Lord, I realize this morning the only way that that's going to happen is you. I turn this over to you right there where you're standing. Come on, somebody come into agreement with me. Lord, right, you see my need. You know what it's going to take. Lord, I know what it's going to take. It's going to take you. Father, I'm believing you right now. I'm pursuing you right now. Lord, I know what it's going to take, but you said you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done by sending Jesus. I thank you for the finished work of the cross. It is mine this morning. I speak healing. I speak blessing. I speak deliverance this morning in the name of Jesus. I speak a financial breakthrough in the name of Jesus over this church, over your people. God, you are going to bless your people, and they are going to be a blessing. I speak it. I claim it now in Jesus' name. Someone give God praise with me.